He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
A couple months ago, the stewardship committee looked at the calendar and said, hey, wouldn't it be a nice idea if we had Life Sunday on Mother's Day? Yeah, that's a good idea. I mean, life and mothers, that goes right together, hand in hand. Little did we know what would happen in the week or so previous to Life Sunday here at Zion Lutheran Church, on what the leak of the draft of the Supreme Court possibility of a ruling. I'm not going to really touch on that, maybe over in Bible class a little bit this morning. Probably, as far as I'm concerned right now, the worst thing that everybody's looking over is that somebody leaked the private discussions of our Supreme Court justices. And how can they honorably and rightly do their job if they do not have the confidence that what they discuss among themselves will be kept among themselves? That is first and foremost. We'll wait and see what the final justices say and what the final ruling is on that. But, you know, that is an egregious breach of the court's trust by somebody, whoever that somebody was. Our text this morning is what's called a free text. It comes from Life Sunday and Lutherans for Life, and the text is from the book of the prophet Isaiah. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet, till her vindication shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. The nations will see your vindication, and all kings your glory. You will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. You will be a crown in the splendor of the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. No longer will they call you deserted, or name you your land desolate, but you will be called Hephzibah, and your land Beulah. For the Lord will take delight in you, and your land will be married. As a young man marries a young woman, so will your builder marry you. As a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you. Our text for this morning. Our sermon this morning has a theme running through it of two princes. And it was very interesting, I thought, that men have to hear it one way. Women will hear a suitor, a man coming to them. Men are going to have to hear it as the two friends or two people who come to them purporting to be their friends, trying to lead them down the right path or the wrong path. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So many of you may remember the 1993 Spin Doctor song, Two Princes. Two princes. One, two princes kneel before you. Marry him or marry me? This is the question that's being asked in that Spin Doctor. It's really a catchy song. It's a toe tapper. It sticks in your head. But it's two princes, each courting one woman, each wanting her to marry him. It sounds like a fairy tale. It's kind of a timeless story, a remarkably relatable one, and even somewhat flattering to the young woman. But Martin Luther once labeled man a beast between two riders. Why not envision ourselves instead pursued by two princes? You may have noticed that the Bible likes weddings. The Bible enjoys talking about weddings. The scriptures speak frequently of marriages. Genesis gets going with, it's not good that the man should be alone. I will make a helper fit for him. Followed by, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and cling as to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Israel's history is replete with the memories of marriages, progressing from Jacob and his matriarch Rachel to Grandma Ruth and Grandpa Boaz, to King David and Bathsheba, and their son, the sage Solomon, and so many of his wives. Then Hosea, the prophet, and his wife Gomer, who slept around on him. Queen Esther and the king. The Virgin Mary, betrothed to noble Joseph. The first of his signs Jesus did at the wedding feast of Cana, where he manifested his glory. Many times the Bible compares the glory of the kingdom of heaven to a wedding feast. He gave a wedding feast for his son, and then we have the parable of the 10 virgins waiting for the bridegroom to show up so they have their lamps ready and going. Jesus says this mystery is profound. I'm saying that it refers to Christ in the church. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom. And I saw the holy city, it is recorded in the book of Revelation, the new Jerusalem coming down from heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Again in Scripture it is recorded, today you shall be called, my delight is in her, and your land married. For the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. As the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. And then the reception that has no end, in life everlasting. The gospel of Jesus Christ tells love stories. Matter of fact, it is the love story. And two princes kneel before you. One prince has eyes for you. He doesn't so much kneel before you as he leans into you. He struts, he saunters up to you. This one has charisma and chemistry. This one has confidence. This one says, please allow me to introduce myself. I'm a man of wealth and means. This one makes your knees weak enough to sweep you right off your feet. This one brings the smooth moves, the slick lines. This one has put into practice everything he's learned and has put on all the polish. He sports stylish shades and a tailored suit with his tie pulled down and his sleeves rolled up. Everything's just right, and he's a real sharp-dressed man. He wears gold on his fingers and carries sparkle in his pockets. He's going to buy you that top-shelf drink. Maybe two of them. Maybe six of them. Better yet, he'll mix you up one himself and add his own special little ingredients to it. Add a little something into it that'll convince you that you actually want his something-something. And he drives you in his fancy car and the sharp turns and squealing tires, sweeping in and out of the lanes, sprinting through the red lights. He turns heads. He's recognized in every city, gets front seat in all the clubs. All the ladies wink and wave at this tall, toned, tanned, handsome man. They have a history with him, but no hope for a future. This one gets you alone. This one gets you off in a corner, over at the private table, out in some hallway, or how about his place, or a hotel, or even the passenger seat, or maybe just a back alley. This one, he specializes in no strings attached, casual, non-committal. This one, he excels in one-night stands. He likes the darkness. He lives for the danger and delivers it. He tries to get you to get your clothes off. He gets you to want to experience the exhilaration of his presence, his scent, his heavy breath. He can't even speak your name. He doesn't know your name. He doesn't care about your name. It's nothing like love. It's just enough lust to get lost in. Who needs delight when you can indulge? Who needs rejoicing when you've got gratification? And when he's had his fill of fooling around with you, he'll light up his cigarette and leave you to your guilt and your shame. He reaches for his shirt. He doesn't even bother to button it up. He chuckles and shuffles off into the evening. He did not come to care. He only came to take advantage of you. And you can't decide whether or not he defiled you or you were the one who failed. You thought for a minute that this might be the thing that you wanted. But it was he who had his way with you. And when you've surrendered ever being viewed as a treasure, well, then you will settle for being viewed and used as a toy. And when you lack somebody to see you as precious, well, you'll let anybody treat you as their own plaything. Ask around. Many remember his name, though few speak it. because of the shame that it brings with it. Call him sexual immorality, a cruel suitor, an abusive on and off again boyfriend, a prince. A prince, yes, but a prince of the power of the air, a prince of demons. Sometimes he moonlights as promiscuity. Sometimes he masquerades as sexual preference. But he has 100 other aliases: greed and gluttony, gossip and envy, anger and adultery, idolatry and apathy, pride or pornography. None of these are worse than the other, but none of them are better than the other either. His given name is sin, but he goes by other monikers: personal expression, choice, rights, equity. Hell himself disguised as death on a vacation, dressed up in freedom, promising you heaven, but with chains in his hand. Sinfulness doesn't love you. Sexual promiscuity does not love you. Sexual preference does not love you. Immorality does not love you. Look how he leaves you. But you just can't get yourself to quit him. And this addiction, sin. Sin, even all dressed up, is still sin. It doesn't rescue humankind. It ruins humankind. Selfishness doesn't create. Selfishness consumes. Death doesn't redeem. Death only discards. It doesn't choose you, it uses you, and then it accuses you. It doesn't delight or rejoice in anyone. It despises and ridicules, and then later abandons all of us. But remember, that's one prince. Two princes kneel before you. The other one, he still has a heart for you. Despite your marks and your failures and your misdeeds, he has a heart for you anyway. This one doesn't need you. He absolutely wants you. This one has character. This one has compassion. This one has courtship. He genuinely kneels. He genuinely comes before you in servanthood, gentle but relentless. He bends low to you, not so much as to sweep you off your feet, but rather as to be the one who sits beside you on the curb, in the gutter. He comes near you to take you in his arms, to strengthen you enough so that you can stand and walk with you, not to have his way with you, but rather to walk alongside of you. He escorts you from the cheap bars, any of them or all of them, right down the middle of the city streets, in front of all the gawking onlookers. This prince next to you is the prince who takes the blame for all of your indiscretions, all of your transgressions, all of your adulteries, idolatries, thieveries, and gluttonies. Him, next to you. He is the one who pays the price for your jealousies, your hostilities, your apathies, your blasphemies. He leads you to his castle, and he lifts you up to a kingdom, a mansion, yes, a palace, a paradise of his making, and he makes you his own. He wants his to be yours. His scarred hands protect. His scored shoulders provide. His stricken side and stinging scalp preserve. There are no pretty pickup lines that come from this prince. There is only presence and promise. No fancy booze, only daily bread. Everything you need to support this body and life. This one doesn't entice or seduce, but he embraces and absolves and accepts. This one does not turn away from blemishes and bruises and broken-hearted wounds, but he tends to them. This one won't rip your coverings off, but he will attire you and outfit you in dignity and sanctity. He pours out his sweat, but not over you, but for you. He sheds His blood and spends His last breath to defend you and to cleanse you from guilt. He advocates for you and sacrifices for your life. He has broken the bank and emptied the treasury, all to purchase you and win you back and give you freedom from whatever has you enchained in shame. This one gives you a new name. This one calls you by His name. This one doesn't ravage you. He simply asks for your hand. This one delights in you. He rejoices over you. This one creates you and makes you special in His sight. He redeems you. He makes you precious. He calls you priceless. He says to you, for better and for worse, for richer, for poor, in sickness and in health. He calls you to love and to cherish, to have and to hold until death and beyond, tonight's darkness and through unto tomorrow's daylight. Yes, from this day forward and even forevermore, He desires to have you by His side. This one doesn't leave you in regret. He leads you to resurrection and royalty. He welcomes you, bride of the heir, daughter and son of the King Himself. He welcomes you to dancing and to laughter and to celebration and song, to community and family, to security and home. He says, welcome to you. He gives you maybe not always what you immediately want, but what you've needed all along. Know Him as grace. Call Him Savior. Know Him as forgiveness and call Him Father. In Him meet faithfulness and patience and greet Him as Jesus, the Son of God, the Lord of all. You have chosen sin, but God chose you. Life chose you. Baptism chose you. Communion chose you. Heaven chose you. Hold Him as hope and healing. Kneel before Him. Kneel your mind. Kneel your life, your days and your deeds. Everything in Him, that you may receive your life and your humanity in the way that He has embraced you, and that you may receive these things in the way that He has selected you to receive them. Each and every human being, each and every one of us, a prize and precious from the moment of fertilization to forever. Each one a gift, whatever their age, whatever their appearance, whatever their abilities. Each one a neighbor, each one in their difficulties and their sufferings, each one a sister or a brother, no matter what it is that they are struggling with or battling in their own lives. Delight in your brothers and sisters in Christ, no matter how many other so-called princes have passed by them. Rejoice in them. No matter how many would-be princes push them away, you let them know of the one true Prince. For you were created this, for this. We were created for this. And in this life, chosen by this one Prince, the Son of God, we will be crowned forever, world without end. Amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.